For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Saturday afternoon service of July the 6th, 1996, of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. George Wingate is the speaker for the afternoon.
Do you love Jesus? Oh, come on, you can do better than that. I'm going to ask you again, and I want every one of you to outdo the other. Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Now, that's the way to do it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, glory, what a day this has been. Glory to Jesus, hallelujah. Well, we're going to look at the rest of that teaching about obedience being better than sacrifice. And I think that by the time we get through with it, and you pay attention to what I'm going to have handed out here in a minute, some things that I want you to take home with you, put on your mirror, put on your refrigerator, stick it up somewhere where you see it every day. Every day. But until we are transformed, that is, made over by the renewing of our minds, I mean, we've got to come to a place of having the mind of Christ. The mind of Jesus is what's going to be the overcomer.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And Jesus said to the devil, "It is written." And until we can say, "It is written." Am I still on? Ringing or something stopped there all of a sudden. Until we can say in any situation, trial, circumstance, "It is written," we won't walk in victory. I like to walk in victory. How about you? I don't like to be made a fool of anymore by the devil. And every time we give in to that rat, in any kind of strife or bickering or backbiting or gossiping and all the other negative issues of life, he's laughing his fool head off at us, pointing the finger at God and saying, "Ha, ha, see those idiots down there? I got them." I refuse anymore to count the blood of the cross as an unnecessary sacrifice. That sacrifice for me means that I can and I will walk in victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, "Well, okay, you're just bragging, you know. Just wait till we follow you home and see what you do." Go ahead, follow me home. Come stay a week with me in my house. I got a couple of extra beds in a back bedroom. Stay there. Be glad to fix you some good seafood dinners. Listen to what I say. Hallelujah. You won't hear too much because the words of a wise man are few. I don't have to say very much. Some kind of a situation comes up. My wife may say something that might not sound just right. I don't say nothing. All I do is shrug, praise the Lord. Because I've listened to what I'm about to hand out to you. Debbie, you and Brian, would you come here a minute? I'm going to say one to a family, okay, to a couple. That way it'll be sure to go around. Brian, you take one side. Debbie, you take the other. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. While they're doing that, I'll share a little chorus with you. Bill talked about a bubbling. This little chorus goes like this. "It's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. They're singing and dancing since Jesus made me whole. Folks don't understand it, and I can't keep it quiet. It's bubbling, 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 bubbling day and night. It's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. They're singing and dancing since Jesus made me whole. Folks don't understand it, and I can't keep it quiet. It's bubbling, 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 bubbling. We'll start it all over again. I got two of these things. Okay? One per couple. And we did get around, just barely. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Jesus, you're so good. Praise the Lord. Turn in your Bibles, once you've got these two things, to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy 30. And I would challenge you to read the whole book of Deuteronomy. Death, put it right there on the rest of it. Read the whole book of Deuteronomy. And then when you get through with that, read the rest of the Bible. It'll do you good. It'll do you good. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Okay. Lord, would you bless your word unto our hearts and glorify your name. And Father, right now I bind every spirit of distraction, every spirit of confusion, every wandering spirit. I bind you in the name of Jesus. And on the authority of the word of God and in Jesus' name, you will not interfere with the minds of any of us for the rest of this meeting. Right here, right now, we will hear what the Spirit of God would say to us as the church. Thank you, Lord. We count it done in Jesus' name. Glory. Now it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you, and that's back over there in 28 in particular, and perhaps 27, some too, and all these things, I don't see the verse. In chapter 28, verse 61, it says, also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed. Now, we know that the big thing today is AIDS. Well, if man don't repent and man don't get himself right with God, and it keeps going the way it is, there'll be something else that will break out that will be much worse than AIDS. Man, human beings' answer is back to God. Period. Bumper sticker says, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. No. God said it, that settles it, you better believe it. Hallelujah. Now it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind, among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you. And you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you today, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity. And have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. That's deliverance, folks. Deliverance. We saw some bringing back just this afternoon. We saw some bringing back yesterday. And perhaps all the other days of this camp meeting. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. Hallelujah. You want to be prospered and multiplied? Glory to God, I do. Not just in the natural, but in the spiritual. I want to be a father to many in the spirit. Now, thank God I've had the privilege of leading quite a number of young people out of darkness and into the kingdom of Son of God's love. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Why? That you may live. That you may live. Live. Not exist. Live. Oh, but Brother George, I'm just living it up, man. I've got this and I've got that and I've just got everything I need and I'm just, No, you're not happy. No, you're telling me by the confession of your mouth that your security lies in what you possess. And as long as it lies in what you possess, you don't possess it. It possesses you. Hallelujah. Our security is to be in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, our Father God, by and through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit and the Word bearing witness together, and we are to walk in the integrity and the uprightness of our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Also, the Lord your God will put all, this is verse 7, all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecuted you. Oh, I love to tell the devils that. You bothered me, you persecuted me, now it's my turn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we had time, we'd get into Psalm 35 and see how how David talked about saying, Lord, let the angel of the Lord persecute them that persecuted me, and so on. Verse 8. And you will again obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments which I command you today. Didn't say some commandments, did it? Oh, but now wait a minute, we can't do all. Hey, Philippians 4:13 says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Didn't say some, said all. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus the Lord. We cannot come up with any kind of an excuse that we can't, whatever. Well, I don't feel like it. Well, who said you had to feel like it? Hallelujah. Our walk with God is a faith walk. Faith being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I am going to be what God says I am, whether you think it, whether I look like it, or whether I feel like it makes no difference. I simply yield to God, and then he does the work. He makes me into what he wants me to be as I yield to him. Then I can say I will be what God says I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm getting excited about this thing. I think we ought to go on 3 or 4 more days of this camp meeting. Glory to God. Glory. Verse 9, the Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good as he rejoiced over your fathers. Now, if. Generally, the little word if in our vocabulary implies doubt. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God. God says, I know your weakness. I know that you're just mere human beings. I know that it's not really within you to do it. But I want to tell you something, God says. I'll help you do it if you'll set your will to do it. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul. For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. Now, here's where we have to stop and say, hey, now, wait a minute. I haven't spent very much time in the Word. Then you better do it. Then you better start doing it. And we're living in a day and a time, folks, when you better do it. Gross darkness is covering that earth out there. Gross darkness is covering the people. And the only way that we're going to survive as Christians is to be transformed by the renewing of our mind to be so full of the Word of God that we are walking with the very mind of Christ, which is the Word, and then we'll walk in victory. Hallelujah. But we can't give God just an hour now and then, you know, like on a Wednesday night and an hour on a Sunday morning and maybe Sunday evening and expect that to do us. No, it won't do it. Isaiah 26:3, God says, I will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. Well, now, wait a minute, Brother George. I have to work. You know, I got to make a living. Well, I know that. God knows it, too. But did you know that God has so made you that you can drive your vehicle, if you're a truck driver, you can drive your car, your truck, and have a little tape player there and listen to the Word. Or praise and worship the Lord at the same time. God has so made us that as a painter, I can take a roller and a paintbrush and I can paint this whole building and never once get my mind off God. It can be done. Because we are a spiritual being as well as a natural being. God knows, you know, man that's fearfully and wonderfully made. God knew what he was doing when he made us. He didn't make no mistake. Not a bit. He made me the handsomest man in town, and I thank the Lord for that. Well, my wife says that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. Never does it say, I have set before you yourself, life or evil. Death, life and death, good or evil. Doesn't say, doesn't put yourself in there. You can't find where it says you can put God over there and you can put the devil over there and you just go around and do your own thing. No, you're either going to be the servant of one or the other, or you're going to be double-minded and you have God in your spirit and be serving the devil with your head. And do you know that's the reason today that we don't see the manifested power of God like we ought to see it and should see it? Is because of double-mindedness within the church, within us. Jesus said, these signs will follow them that believe in my name. They'll do things, even to the raising of the dead. How many dead people have we raised lately? I must admit, I've yet to reach that place. Cast out a few devils. Speak with tongues. I've laid hands on the sick a few times. Well, that's nothing unusual. Hallelujah. But there's coming another time when there's going to be some men and women of God, and they're going to be in a situation, and somebody's going to lie to the Holy Ghost, and the spirit of judgment's going to rise within that person. They're going to say, hey, you lied to the Holy Ghost. And they're going to drop dead. Drop physically dead, just like Ananias and Sapphira. That's coming. And it may cost you your head. God will not be mocked. Not in any sense of the word. Our God's a jealous God, but he's also a God of long suffering and patience. But after a while, it does come to an end. God spoke to Moses, and he said, Moses, let me alone. I've got enough of that Israelite nation. I'm going to kill them all. And Moses said, no, you won't. We better know our God, which means know the Word. Hallelujah. Amen? Glory to God. Now, just a little bit more here, and then we're going to get into some scriptures about obedience. We're seeing some things here. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But then there's a warning. But if your heart turns away, see, there's that if again. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. Oh, but I don't have any other gods. Really? I had to give up a God in my life. I couldn't control my mind in the fall of the year. Didn't make any difference what I was doing, where I was at. I could be studying the Bible and all of a sudden, you know, well, I wonder, what team's playing today? Football was my God. Anything that has any control over us that we just simply think that we must have is a false God. We don't need it. 80-some times the Word of God talks about fasting, and fasting means self-denial. Really, it means don't eat. And if we could deny ourselves that physical food and just seek God with all of our heart, soul, mind, body, and strength, God would deliver us and set us free and turn the tables on the devil, like in the book of Esther, when Mordecai was going to be hung on a gallows made by Haman, and Queen Esther did some fasting and praying, and the situation was reversed, and Haman, who is a type of the devil, and Mordecai, a type of us, Jesus, he was hung, Haman was hung on the gallows that he'd made for Mordecai. In other words, the situation was completely reversed. And so the situations in our lives will be reversed if we'll do what God says to do. Hallelujah. I could share a lot of testimonies about the power of fasting in my life and in others too. Miracles have taken place, glory to God. Now, but if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. That you may dwell in the land. God wants us to dwell in the land. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. And the glory of God shall cover this earth as the waters cover the sea. Hallelujah. The wicked will be destroyed out of this earth. God made this earth and he said it's good. Amen. Adam sold it to the devil. And Jesus bought it back. When the blood of Jesus drained down that cross and touched the ground, it liberated this earth from the curse. We're no longer under that curse, thank God. In Jesus, we have life and have it more abundant. Glory to God. The Bible says, everywhere the sole of your foot shall tread shall become holy ground. God moved me into a neighborhood where there was a lot of unholy ground. Crack houses all around. Drug addicts all around. I got out and I walked that whole neighborhood back and forth, praising God, daylight in the morning, sometimes after dark, just praising and worshiping God and talking about the blood of Jesus. And oh, how I thank God that everywhere the sole of my foot would tread would become holy ground. Well, today, 12 years later, the crack houses are gone. A lot of them completely torn down. Amen. And the drug addicts are gone. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Walking by one place, the Lord said, go up and lay hands on that door of that place and command it to close. So I did. I just went up there early in the morning, laid hands on it, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I curse you devils, and I bind you up, and I command this place to close down. 2 weeks later, I went by there, and sure enough, sign on the door for rent. Another time, I got the surprise of my life. I give all the credit and the glory to God. He does hear and answer prayer, you know. There was a riotous nightclub on a main thoroughfare where I live. And I drove by that place early one morning going fishing down, you know, well, that's immaterial. I just drove by it and I said, you know, I command you to burn to the ground. Went on. The next thing I know, somebody asked me, hey, do you know what happened to that nightclub over there? I said, no, I don't. It's burnt up. Ain't nothing there but a pile of ashes. I didn't say that I said anything. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Yes. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Yes. Now, I think that I can say this with all the surety of the Word of God, and I'm going to just use myself. My mother and dad were Pentecostal holiness, as they were called back 100 years ago. That's the kind of situation that I was born into. I was raised and nurtured on the Word of God. I knew what it was to have foot washings. I knew what it was to have communion. That's the kind of environment that I grew up in. I did not dare go to bed without first getting on my knees and praying as a boy. My dad had either a heart attack, a stroke, I don't remember which, but at about 6 or 7 years old, this happened, and they tell me, I don't recall it now, but they tell me that I went over and sat down beside him. He fell on the floor and laid hands on him and prayed for him, and he got all right. Hallelujah. Now, later, I wandered away from God, and as a teenager, and then going into the service, and got sort of sidetracked for a while, but finally realized I was on the wrong track. But there is the law of sowing and reaping. Now, if I could have obeyed right on down through the years, stayed on track, stayed on target, I don't believe that any of the traumatic situation that's happened in my life would have come my way. Why? Because the Word of God is the finality of anything. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
That's it, you know. And God says that the blessings of the Lord, the Word of God says, the blessings of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. I believe it. The Word of God says that God will withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. So now if something good is being withheld, then I've got to look in the mirror and say, hey, where are you not walking uprightly? Hallelujah. I think that we at times give the devil too much glory, too much credit. We need to just let him know who he is and where he belongs, and let's go ahead and put him there. But we don't need to go around talking negative talk. Well, the devil did this to me, and the devil made me do that, and the devil this, and the devil that. He loves to hear that. He loves to be mentioned. Hallelujah. But my Bible says in Ephesians 4:29 that I'm to let no evil communication proceed out of my mouth, but only that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer. I've made that verse of Scripture a part of my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, number one, obedience results in being treasured by God. We looked at Exodus 19:5 for that one on the last go-round. I'm not going to look these up again. If some of you were not here, you might just jot them down and look at them later. The next one is, we are blessed in life. Psalm 119, verse 2. And then, being treasured by God. Exodus 19:5. Hallelujah. And then not being ashamed. There's never been a person that has sold out to God that's ever been ashamed of doing it. Never. There won't ever be. And when I say sold out, I mean committed to God. Hallelujah. Obedience results in understanding of the Word of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he talks about the natural man and the spiritual man, and he says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. But then he winds up that little chapter in the 16th verse and says, but we have the mind of Christ. We're not naturally minded anymore, or we shouldn't be. Obedience results in the avoidance of evil. We do what God says, we avoid evil. Which really comes down to just simply, hey, I don't listen to what my head says all the time. I don't listen to what somebody else's heads say all the time. But I will listen to what the head, the Word of God says. Obedience results in guidance for life. And I didn't give you the scripture here. Not being ashamed is Psalm 119. Verses 4, 5, and 6, okay? And then understanding is verse 100. 119, verse 100. The avoidance of evil is 119, verse 101. And then guidance for life is 119, verse 105. Now, that's a lot out of 119. But don't let that few verses stop you. Just go ahead and feast on the whole thing.
Amen.
In fact, why don't you just make it a habit of using Psalm 119 for a little dessert for the next month, every day.
Yes.
It tastes good, folks. I mean, really. Better than chocolate sundae. Obedience results in safety and freedom from anxiety. That's Proverbs. I'll just say the whole book of Proverbs. I ain't give you one verse there. Now, yeah, we will too. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 16. He who keeps the commandment keeps his soul. You want to keep your soul? Or you want to allow some of it to go, you know, to continue to be used by the devil? One or the other. Either you're going to keep it for God or the devil will use it. But he who is careless of his ways will die. Certain kinds of sicknesses are not necessarily a demon as such. But the work of the Spirit within the structure of your mind that drives you to eat unnecessary food or too much food of whatever, which then causes the sickness, and then it in turn will kill you. That's the work of the devil. He's very tricky. Very tricky. And they might as well start right now building some more juvenile shelters and some more hospitals and some more of these rehabilitation centers, because of all the junk food that people are gobbling up right and left. They will pay the penalty for it. The law of sowing and reaping. You've sowed to the flesh, to the cravings of the mind, you will reap corruption. I tell you, folks, God's shaking his army. God is saying, hey, shape up.
Yes.
I had my older sister has gone on. She was saved, but she was a hypochondriac, full of sickness, and good Baptist. And I have heard people say, well, if that's Christianity, I don't want none of it. What kind of a witness is that? Jesus said, let your light so shine that others may see the good works of God in you and thereby glorify the Father. Well, a person that is sickly is not a good witness to God. That's not a good shining light. Hallelujah. I was in Tampa, Florida one time, years ago, and this dear old lady that the Lord had me to minister to, 78 years old, and we were sitting on her porch one afternoon talking, and a lady was walking down the street, and it brought back another situation, and he said, Brother George, here a couple of weeks ago, I saw this old lady walking down the street, and she was walking like this. And she said, I looked at that old lady and my heart just went out to her and said, the Lord took the blinders off of my eyes. And hanging all over her were big blobs that looked like big leeches. There's a book back there. It's called War on the Saints. I highly recommend that book for every family that is determined not to be tricked, deceived, beguiled, ensnared by the devil. War on the Saints. Did you know there's a war going on?
Yes, amen.
Did you know that the devils of hell are absolutely terrified that you might, just might, become Christ-like? That you just might come to that place to where you walk up to a demon-possessed individual and say, in Jesus' name, out. And the person set free. Hallelujah. He's terrified. He'll do anything in this world to hinder your walk with God. He'll use any subversive act whatsoever of distraction, confusion, you name it, negative issues, he'll use it. So we've got to become more aware of our enemy. And the more time that we spend in the Word of God, the more we hide this Word in our hearts, the truth, then the quicker we'll be to not be a slave to the devil. The quicker we'll jump You know, when the enemy slips in somehow, comes around, we won't fall for that little trap.
Glory to God. Ezekiel chapter 18. Some of these scriptures we went through, we're going to get on right on down here quickly to the ones that I left out. Ezekiel 18, verse 19. Yet you say, why should the son not bear the guilt of the father? Because the son has done what is lawful and right, and has kept all my statutes and done them, he shall surely live. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Even though the Word of God says the sins of the fathers follow down to the third and fourth generation, anywhere in there, that can be broken through obedience. Hallelujah. John 8:51. This is a biggie. Most assuredly, Jesus is talking, most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. You know, there are many kinds of death. Not just the death of the physical body. There is the death of relationships, which is a biggie today. The divorce rate is sky high and getting higher. Well, they started out all right. But now there's, you know, well, I'll just live with so-and-so for a few months, and in, if I like it, then I'll stay. Maybe another month or two. Disobedience, rebellion, defiance, in all of its ramifications, is rampant throughout the land. May God have mercy on us that we'll stick our nose in the Word of God and determine to become so Christ-like that when we walk out into the public world, when we walk out there, that we just be a pulsating light. And people come up and say, hey, what have you got? What is it about you that you're just different? Why do you look so happy? Then you can lift up Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's look at Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, and see a little bit about God's blessings here for obedience. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. There's that little word if again. Yes. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Verse 20, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is not like a boss on a job, you know, so on. Our God is steadfast and sure. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The only protection that we have as human beings today is in Christ. There is no other protection except to be in Christ the hope of glory. In Jesus there's fullness of joy. You won't find it anywhere else. Nowhere else. Boy, the tens of thousands of testimonies that are coming forth from people who have been utter fools for the devil, that have wound up in prison, spending some of them years in prison, that have given their lives to God, and God has honored their request and their heart cry, and they have a changed life. They've had enough of the world, the devil and all of his lies. I ministered at a prison in Florida for over 4 years, every Monday night, and I had a man going with me that was a good praise leader, and he taught this one young fellow who loved to play the guitar. And this guy was in there for I don't know how long. I never did. It was just not kosher to question the prisoners. Later, I talked to the chaplain, and I found out he had a pretty long sentence for murder in a drug deal of some kind. Tony Gonzalez, that guy could play that guitar and lead worship like you wouldn't believe. He was another Bill Goodson. Loud, boisterous, happy, shouting the victory. Glory to God. But he was at one time a drug addict. Is anything too hard for our God?
No.
Amen.
Lord, I don't know if they're sure or not. Should I ask them again? Okay. Is anything too hard for our God?
No.
Oh, yes. Lord, I know you heard that. Hallelujah. All right. Let's see about, you know, is it great? Is one of the rewards of obedience being great in the kingdom of heaven? You reckon that might be? Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So obedience will bring you into a greatness with God. Hallelujah. Shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And James 2:10 says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Oh, but Brother George, I couldn't never keep, do all, do, you know, I just couldn't do everything. Hey, may I remind you again of Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay? What about bearing fruit for God? Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 23. Obedience will result in your being a fruit bearer for God. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now, the seed is the word. The ground is your mind, your spirit. You, as a born-again Christian, you are a spiritual being, and now you, as a spiritual being, are to have control, the rule over your mind. It's not to rule and control you. So you say, mind, you're going to be renewed by the Word. Mind, you're going to be good ground for the Word. Mind, you're going to receive the seed of the Word of God. And mind, you're going to grow and produce. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. What about manifesting love for God? Would obedience result in manifesting love for God, you think? I think so. How about let's look at John 14. John 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, there's that little word if again, keeps cropping up, doesn't it? If a man love me, or a woman love me, or a boy or girl, teenager, whatever, love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. Now, this is the part I like. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him.
Yes.
Oh, that's when I die and go to heaven. No.
No.
That's when you're alive and on this earth. The kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, same thing, same word, is within you. And what is the kingdom? It's righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That's what it is. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Psalm 91:1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You want to abide under the shadow of the Almighty? I think I do. I know I do, and I'm going to do my utmost to stay there. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Do you have the Spirit of Christ? Hallelujah. And then Romans 8, 10, and 11, to go along with that, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Righteousness, right standing with God. Justified. Justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. Hallelujah. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. We have been quickened by the Spirit of God. We have been made alive. We're no longer just zombies for the devil. We are alive in Christ.
Amen.
We're no longer walking around dead, you know, well, I've got to have this, and I've got to do this, and I know. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. 1 John 2:24. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. You remember what Jesus said in John 14:20? He said that at that day, that was Jesus talking before He was crucified, before He ascended to the Father, and before He returned and spoke to the disciples. He said, at that day, speaking of the day of Pentecost, He said, let me read that quickly. 14:20. Thank you, Lord. At that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. The Bible says, he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. Visualize with me now, if you please. I've got three glasses here, three little drinking glasses, and I've got a little bit of water in each one of them, okay? This one represents Jesus, this one the Father, and this one me, okay? What does he say? At that day, you will know that I am in my Father. This one represents Jesus, this one the Father. Take this one and pour it into this one. He's in the Father, right? And then he says, and you in me. Then you take this one, it represents you, and pour it in this one. Now, could you tell me which one of those little bits of water was which? Just pure, clear water. Well, I see that little bit right there. No, it's pure, clear water. It mixes together so that you can't tell what was what. That's the way God wants us to be as far as our enemy's concerned. God wants us to be so enamored with Him, so filled with Him, so when the devil looks at us, he sees God. He sees Jesus. Hallelujah. Boy, I like that. I like that verse. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you.
Yes.
He that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. When you look at me standing up here, you see God standing up here. Don't see Him with your natural eyes. You just see this old body. But God dwells in this building, this tabernacle. My spirit, His spirit's joined together. Glory to God, if that isn't exciting, what is? That's enough to shout on, ain't it? That's enough to holler, whoopee! Well, I got a few. No, goodness, I've got to have a minute or two here yet. Now, we looked at bearing fruit for God. We looked at manifesting love for God, John 14:23. Another scripture is 1 John 2:5. Don't turn to it. That goes along with manifesting love, 1 John 2:5. Now, what about the promise of God's presence? We just looked at that in John 14:20. Also, 2 John 9. Then we can look as abiding in the love of God, John 15. We're right there close. John 15, verse 10. Again, we see that little word, if.
Yes.
If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide, stay there, steadfast, unmovable, abounding in the love of God, in His love. Glory to God. All right? Now, what about the assurance of salvation? Turn to 1 John. We've got four more scriptures, and they're all right in the little book of 1 John. 1 John, chapter 2. The assurance of salvation, 1 John 2, verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know Him. If, there's that little word if again, if we keep His commandments. That's the assurance of salvation, if we keep His commandments. All right? And that word know means to have an intimate relationship with Him. All right? Verse 17 talks about eternal life. 1 John 2:17. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Ooh, glory. Oh, glory. What about dwelling in God? Let's look at 3:24. 1 John 3:24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, God, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us. People who don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit don't know what we know. They're still looking some future day for everything that we have now. Praise the Lord. All right? Now, one more. 1 John 5:2. We have the love of God's children. Love is what it's all about, folks. 1 John 5, verse 2. Obedience is better than sacrifice as we learn how to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. And it says in 1 John 5, verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Would you stand to your feet, please? You've been given two sheets of paper. One of them says it's not the obstacles that block your way, but what's inside of you that holds you back. It is the will of God that you prosper and be in good health in every area of your life. The other one says, do not allow yourself to become upset by people or things. They are powerless. Your reaction is their only power. Father, I thank you and I praise you for the privilege and the honor of sharing your word this afternoon. Lord, you know the joy of my heart is just to open my mouth, God, and by the Spirit just let it come forth.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, I just thank you now for, in the days to come, for many more open doors, God, just to share the truth of your word and the simplicity of your word, God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Lord, you said for us to desire the sincere milk of the word that we might grow. Lord, I don't think any of us are full grown yet, so we still need some milk of the word. Now, Lord, would you just help us to keep our minds stayed on you in the days to come, God? And Father, I bless these precious people. Father, in Jesus' name, I bless this campground. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I speak health and well-being, and I thank you that all the needs of Glenn and Irma and the other people, Lord, that stay on this campground, all of them are met in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just bless you and praise you now. Give you the glory for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Lord, I thank you for my friends coming from a long way. It's so good to see them. Haven't seen them, Lord, in such a long time. Lord, I just thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, I just would ask you to bless the evening meal. Lord, we thank you again for Tony, God, and for the blessing that he is. Lord Jesus, we just love him and we thank you for all the other people that, Lord, that helped there in the kitchen and in the preparation and in the serving of the food. And God, would you just bless it that it would nourish and strengthen our bodies and that we would just give you the praise and the glory with that strength. and would keep our minds stayed on you in the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.